Good evening, everyone. Am I on? Yes? Okay, good. I think I might just drop this down a little bit, actually. I can't see you. I wonder if you've ever had an unexpected visit, something that surprised you. Years ago, when Jenny was pregnant with Joanna, our first, we were part of an antenatal group. I think it was an NCT group that we were part of, with seven couples. We met a delightful Indian couple called Uday and Anu. And they were here in Knowle for about 3 years, and we spent time with them when the kids were very, very tiny. But they then moved off and went to live in the United States. I think it was probably about 3 years later, Uday was over on business in the UK, and he decided to drop in and pay us a surprise visit. So we had a ring on the doorbell. Unfortunately, 30 minutes earlier, we'd ordered a curry for delivery. Some of you know what's coming. So we welcomed our friend Uday with the words, "But where's our food?" Luckily, the food was delivered 10 minutes later by a gentleman of remarkable resemblance. So Uday could see the funny side of it. But you couldn't make it up, could you, really? But I haven't. It really did happen. We did that. So unexpected visits, they can really catch us out, can't they? And they happen in all kinds of spheres of life. My background was I spent my entire working life in the manufacturing industry. And the unexpected visits you get in that sort of environment are the health and safety inspectors. And they give you absolutely no notice that they're coming. They just arrive, ring the doorbell, and they can look at anything and everything in a business and spend as long as they like. You know, sometimes they go to business, doesn't they? We're there 2 days. So really, it's a real unexpected visit, and your heart sinks when they arrive. And if you're in different environments, you know, if you're in a school environment, you'll have things like Ofsted that come and inspect you. If you're in a sort of medical environment, you have sort of things like CQC. But those regimes are, in a sense, a little bit different in that they do tell you that they're coming. You get advance notice that your school is going to be inspected, your surgery is going to be inspected. And I'm not altogether sure that that's a good thing. For a couple of reasons. Firstly, we've seen in the media tragedies caused by the stress that happens. And whilst, yes, the health and safety is incredibly stressful, you're not stressing about it beforehand because you don't know it's going to happen. So there's a lot of stress caused. But secondly, I think when that happens is that they don't actually see you as you truly are because you've got time to prepare and you put a sort of a nice face on, whereas the health and safety, you can't do that. The health and safety are not interested in what you're doing when they're looking at you. They're interested in what you're doing when they're not there. In other words, you've got to be ready. You know, they're checking how ready are you when they drop in and do these unexpected visits. But the thing that they do all have in common is that they all exist really for the care of the flock. Whatever you define the flock to be. So in manufacturing, it's the employees that are in your business, and health and safety are worried and caring about that flock. In schools, of course, it's the pupils. In surgeries and medical contexts, it's the patients. So they're all driven. They might get it right or wrong, but they're all driven by this care for the flock. And that's why they're coming to make these unexpected drop-in visits. So we can turn to our passage now. That's a bit of preamble sort of to get to our passage. But if you've still got it open, it's on page 1187, 1 Thessalonians 3. This is the kind of mindset that Paul was in when he was in Athens. He'd been to Thessalonica or Thessaloniki. I was listening to the sermon from 2 weeks ago, and I always thought it was Thessalonica. So I'll call them the Thessalonians, and that way it's uncontroversial. So he'd been there and set up a church, a very fledgling church, and he's in Athens, and he's concerned. He wants to know, well, how are this flock getting on? What's really happening in their life as a church? So that drives him to send Timothy to go and visit and find out what was going on. Now, I think as Sharon mentioned, you know, the communications really weren't great, you know, so they wouldn't have been able to say, oh, Timothy's coming to visit. So it really would have been a drop-in visit. You know, if he'd taken the letter with him, he'd have had delivered it with himself, so it wouldn't really have been that much advance notice. So he sends Timothy on this visit to go and visit the church in the Thessalonian church. Paul's fear is that somehow they've been derailed, they've gone adrift, and he just wants to go and check on them and say, well, what's actually happening? What's happening in your church? So he sends Timothy. And the letter we're reading in 1 Thessalonians is the letter that's written after Timothy's come back. It kind of, when you first quickly read it, you think it's a letter saying Timothy's going to visit, but it's not. It's the opposite way around, of course. And Timothy comes back, and unlike some of these other sort of inspection regimes, if you like, they might have dozens, if not hundreds, of criteria. What criteria does Timothy come and report back to Paul? It's just two things, and it's in verse 6. I believe, yes. I can't really see very well in the dark here. In verse 6, Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. Just two things. That's what Paul was interested in knowing about. Just those two things, faith and love. And the result was very good. You know, Timothy had arrived. They weren't expecting him. They didn't know he was coming. So he was seeing them as they truly were. And they scored really very, very well. And that was encouraging. And I'll come back to encouragement sort of later on in the sermon. But it's kind of interesting if you imagine someone coming to visit our church. It's interesting what Paul didn't focus on. He didn't say, well, how are your finances going? Or how are you growing? You know, how many people are coming to your meetings? Or what activities have you got going on? He just wants to know about their faith and their love. And for the rest of the sermon, I want to just focus on those two things and try and sort of apply it to us as a church and see what it's like. Imagine, I was trying to think of an example of somebody sending an unexpected visitor. Let's pick Dave Richards, because we saw Dave at our weekend away, didn't we? So Dave was here years ago, and let's say he's up in Edinburgh now, wondering what was going on down in Knowle, so he sent a surprise visitor to come and check out how we're doing on faith and love. So that's the kind of context that I want to sort of look at for the rest of the sermon. So let's pick faith first. Now, on the surface, you might say, well, faith is easy, you know. We all believe in God, and we believe that Jesus Christ sort of is our Saviour. He died to save us. And you can kind of think, well, faith at that level is relatively straightforward. But when you dig a bit deeper and think about sort of a life of faith, Jeff spoke about it this morning, about faith being ongoing and just continuous. Really, I think faith is all about trust. How much are we trusting? And that certainly isn't an easy thing. The verse that I keep coming back to in my life is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, it's about how much trust are we putting into God and how much are we relying on ourselves. So it's really about trusting God totally in that sense. Now, Jenny and I have just come back from perambulating around Spain for a few weeks in our camper van. And as well as seeing some fantastic cities and lovely countryside and some reasonable weather, we did encounter snow on a couple of occasions, so it's not summery down there yet. But I was determined that trip was going to be something of a sort of a faith development thing for me. And those of you that know me know, well, I'm pretty highly structured and planned and organised, and you know, like everything to be done as so. There's lots of smiles going on. So, I said to myself, right, with this trip, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to plan some of it, but I'm not going to plan all of it. I'm going to let God work. So I sort of deliberately left some gaps in the trip, so where I hadn't got anything booked. We could go to a variety of different places. So it allowed some flexibility for God to work. And that for me was a little bit uncomfortable, but it actually worked out fantastically. We went to different places. We found things that we didn't realize that were there and just stopped and went to them so we could divert. There was one time where it was going to snow quite heavily where we were planning on going. So we just went, well, let's go somewhere else then. So we could just change. So we allowed God to move us and shunt us around. And I think at the end of the holiday, I think we'd only perhaps done the things we planned on the days I'd planned them, perhaps maybe half. The rest of it was allowing God to work. So that for me was like a step of faith. Another one was we do a lot of walking, and very often we'd set off on walks and I'd have a plan, because that's what I am. And so I had a plan and a map, but numerous times we either couldn't find the path or the path just wasn't suitable, or we just had to divert. And so I had to sort of allow God to sort of nudge me elsewhere. Now, don't think this was all perfect. Jenny will tell you how grumpy I was at not being able to find the right path. But I really felt that another proverb, Proverbs 16:9, is the one that says, man may determine his plans, but the Lord determines his steps. And I really felt that God was working on that, and I just had to trust. So there were times where, one time we walked up a horrendously long, it was like a 2-mile sort of forest track, really, really dull, you know, winding track up through the forest. So I'm thinking, well, where are we going? This isn't going to go anywhere. But then you get to the top and it's, wow. And God's just kind of saying to me, see? You know, so I just felt that God was able to sort of help my faith. But you've got to allow some space to be able to do that. You've got to allow yourself to go into an uncomfort place, if you like. And I suppose the accumulation of all of that sort of faith journey over that holiday is that, for reasons I won't explain, but we had to come back early a few days because of a family issue. And actually, in the past, I'd have massively struggled with that. But actually, it was like, no, okay, that's what we'll do. So we came back. So we just readjusted everything. So it was a complete sort of journey of faith, if you like. But as I've come back and I've been preparing this sermon this week, I've actually sort of considered that actually a church can actually be quite a hard place to have faith in that context. I mean, we're very blessed as a church, aren't we? We've lots of talented people on volunteers and on the staff. And if you're talented and capable and in control, it's actually a bit harder to let God do things. So, you know, it was just sort of pondering on that. And obviously, a few weeks ago, we had sort of opportunities with things like the fair for volunteering and all the things you can do. And it's, you know, I'd encourage you, if you're feeling in an area where you are in control of what you're doing in church, well, maybe try something where you're not quite as in control and let God do things and let God sort of work and develop your faith, as it were. So that's, I think, the kind of faith that Paul would have been looking for. It's not just, yes, so they still believe what they said in the first place. It's like, what's going on? What's happening? You know, how's their faith growing? How are they sort of building up and getting stronger in faith? And I don't think it's something that happens by accident. I think you've got to do something about it. I think you've got to make some sort of conscious choices, as I tried to on the trip we've just done, to actually put yourself in an uncomfort place where you wouldn't normally be and trust God in doing it. So that's the faith bit of Timothy's report back. The second one's even easier, isn't it? Love. You know, we've said it in the creed, haven't we? Sort of in terms of not loving enough. But, you know, love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, it almost feels an impossibility, certainly for me. Sort of, you know, years ago I realized that by myself I have no capacity to love anything like what God is calling us to do. Love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you and bless them. You know, all of these things, it's just an incredible challenge. And last week, Rod talked about Paul's love in the way that he actually shared the gospel. And Paul had tremendous love for people. And it comes through here as well. I mean, it's easy to skip over some of these verses of what Paul was doing, because Paul was in extreme hardship. And if we read at the start of the passage, I think it's verse 1, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Now, Paul very easily could have been in prison in Athens, and Timothy might have been the only person that was looking after them, you know, providing food for them. But he sends Timothy at great cost to himself to go and find out how these people, how these Christians in Thessalonica were getting on. So he loved so much, he was prepared to put up with tremendous hardships in what he was doing. So I honestly believe that we can only love as God intends us to by receiving God's love. God is love. God's got an immense resource of love for all the billions of people he's made on our planet. And if we allow God's love to come to us by his Holy Spirit and just flow through us, then that love can come into us and flow out. And I think that's, for me, that's anyway the only way that I can conceive of loving anything like what God wants us to do. So I think Paul's saying to us in this kind of report that's come back from Timothy's visit that if you have these things, if you have faith in ever-increasing measure, if you're trusting in God totally, and you have love of the kind that comes by receiving God's love and God's Holy Spirit that can flow out, that's kind of it. God can work with that. We don't need sort of very much more from our side, if you like. God can just work with that. So if we have that, then anything's possible. And I think that's what gave Paul this tremendous encouragement, that that's what he was finding in the Thessalonian church. And hopefully he finds it here. But then we come back to encouragement, because he not only sent Timothy to the Thessalonian church to find out how they were doing, he went there to encourage them. He went there to sort of give them encouragement. And what better encouragement than to find out that they've scored fantastically well on these two things, faith and love. And, you know, it really is a tremendous encouragement. If I think back to, just flipping back to my earlier stories, the last health and safety visit that I had to host was, I think, a couple of years before COVID. And the doorbell went, and the guy came in, and he was determined he was going to find things wrong. He was one of those people that was zealous to dig something out. And he found a few bits and pieces that you could recommend, but nothing serious. And as he left, after about 2 hours, he just turned to me and just said, "Well done," and then left. But short words, but a tremendous encouragement, not just for me, but for the whole business, because, you know, it's a whole business thing if you're going to get through that kind of surprise visit, you know, an unexpected visit. So it really can be an encouragement to what's going on. Those of you that were there at the annual meeting on Wednesday, I thought that was a tremendous encouragement. Amazing to see what God is doing in our church, you know, through faith and through love. And if we drive things through that, then God can do incredible things. So I think we've got an awful lot. You know, if we did have an unexpected visitor to check our church, I think we'd score very well. There's always stuff to do, of course, but I think in terms of general sort of encouragement, it's there. So I think, lastly, you know, we've been encouraging. I think sort of last year we talked about salty conversations, didn't we, Steve? About sort of, you know, sort of having conversations that are meaningful and you know, sort of helping each other and encouraging each other. So just to close, I think it'd be great if in all our conversations we could get past the question that we always lie to. And you know what that question is, don't you? How are you? Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And we're never honest about it. But if we can get past that and actually talk about what really, you know, how's your faith? You know, those of you that know Chris Taylor, how are you getting on with God? you know, really to talk to each other about faith and love and just encourage each other. So I think there's tremendous amounts to be encouraged for our church. And I think faith and love, I think that's the message that came out of this timely, unexpected visit to the Thessalonian church. So, thank you and amen, everyone.